Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining the call. Welcome to Q1 FY23 earnings call of the Infoviz Technology Limited. And I will now hand over the call to Surbhi Jain from Infoviz for the formal introduction. Over to you, Surbhi. Thanks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everyone and thanks for joining this Q1 earnings call of Infoviz Technologies Limited. The results and investor update have been mailed to you and it is also available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us and we will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, co-founder. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance and then we will follow with the Q&A session. Kindly ask your question by raising hands after the brief overview by Avinash is over and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report which you will find on our website. With that said, I now turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surbhi, and thank you everybody for joining this call. Appreciate your constant support to Infoviz. This is the quarter update for June 2022. We got delayed. Usually we do it in the third to fourth week of the last month, the month next to the end of the quarter. This time, since we have EY as our auditor, since it was the first time for them, they took some time to conclude because there were enough deep diving into the numbers for all the subsidiaries and for Infoviz as well. So, therefore got delayed. Hoping that next time we'll be back on track for the third week results out. Summing it up for everybody, there are a lot of new members who are joining the call. So, Infoviz, your company was founded in the year 2000. Started from three people. Now we have 1600 plus. We are a publicly listed digital transformation and product engineering outfit. We aim to deliver a wow for our customers where we are trying to solve their complex business solutions or complex business problems using technologies like Salesforce, ServiceNow, and Microsoft-based technology stack, UiPath, Automatic, and several other automation tools. So we are globally present in countries like US, Europe continent, Middle East, in India. We recently opened our office in Vadodara as well. Next week. This is an update from the last year where we have, 12 years of active growth, 13 Fortune 500 clients which are currently active with us, 7 unicorn clients, and there's another data where we have customers which are $1 billion in revenue, and I think there are 6 of them. So we focus on large companies and try to generate repeat business from them. Once we lend into those customers, we try and expand year over year. We've been growing at a CAGR of 42% since inception. And last year, we did 289 crores as revenue, 55 crores of PAT, and we had about 128 crores of cash and cash equivalents. That includes account receivables as well. Several awards that we continue to receive. A recent addition is also a great place to work and dream companies to work for. And we are partners to these many players already. Next, please. A quick, journey of over the years as to how significant milestones have been achieved in the last 22 years. The recent one was when we acquired Eternal Solutions in 2021. And we also did a buyback in 2021. Next, please. The leadership team here, co-founders, all three of us, and then we have independent directors who have been with us. Here is the next set of founders from the acquired companies, as well as the senior folks who have been with Infoviz for, several decades, if I were to say that. And that is the strength of Infoviz, where we have these many people who are helping us to grow the business, and each one of them has stock options and therefore, you know, there is a high sense of ownership. Recent development is we have started investing in blockchain as an R&D exercise. Darshana Jain, who is a subject matter expert, she has been hired, and we are on track to build a sales team and engineering team around blockchain activities. We are also trying to pitch for projects with our existing clients so that we can commercialize it, and you know, definitely the R&D efforts can start to yield the results also. Next, please. So a quarterly update very quickly. We have grown 78% on a year-on-year basis as compared to last June. We have grown significantly from 55 crores to 98 crores, you know, 78% growth there on the revenue terms. EBITDA has grown by 48% and PAT has grown by 9%. There is a significant reason why there is a drop in PAT. I will talk about it once we go there. On a Q-on-Q basis, we have grown at 4%. On revenue side, on EBITDA, we have dropped by 15%, and on PAT side, we have dropped by 27% or so. If you remember, I keep telling in every investor call that our EBITDA margins will come back to steady state of 24% or so, and PAT will also come back to, you know, 14-15% or so. We were 29% on EBITDA margin last quarter, and we were 19% on you know, last year annual numbers on PAT margins. We keep telling everybody that it is abnormal and it's not going to be steady state. Eventually, we'll come back to 24-15% of PAT margins and 24% of EBITDA margins over a yearly you know, average, I would say. The significant jump in PAT is on multiple counts. One is the revenue has, on a Q-on-Q basis, has not grown as fast as we expected. The expenses on the salary side have been dramatic. We've been, you know, doing multiple appraisals over the years, and then we had a full cycle of appraisals in effective April 2022. Plus ESOPs also being allotted. So there's a lot of expense that we're doing on the people side, and I'm sure that investment is going to be worthy in time to come. Next, please. This is the comparison out here. Revenue from 98 crores, you know, 95 to 98 on a Q-on-Q basis, 55 to 98 on a yearly basis. By the way, you know, if you look at the yearly number, we had 289 crores of March 2022. And if you look at June alone, we are doing 98 here. So we are almost at a 400 crore run rate right now. And I'm hoping we'll be able to improve from here. Same goes with the EBITDA margins are at 24% and PAT at 12% right now. There was a drop from 16 crores to 12 crores on PAT on a Q-on-Q basis, and a slight increase from 11 crores to 12 crores on a PAT margin from June to June basis. So, I would say we're doing a decent year in terms of the performance, in terms of the revenue growth. You know, yearly basis, we have significantly jumped from there. Even on the EBITDA, you know, numbers, we are growing significantly on a yearly basis, YOY. Next, please. Quite a change here. Digital transformation and product engineering, you know, they keep moving the places. I would say, you know, keep it half and half, more or less. Eternus is contributing about 17% to the revenue for the quarter. And on a geographical basis, we have, you know, reduced our dependency on U.S. slightly. Interestingly, Europe is growing fast, and so is India. Next. So the quick updates, we have invested in the Center of Excellence for Blockchain Technology. Eternus Solutions have been renamed as Infobeans CloudTech Private Limited, and we have already started working towards the brand integration. So now every member in Infobeans CloudTech and Infobeans Technologies will be you know, branded as Infobeans members. The office will also be branded as Infobeans, and all the, you know, contracts will be renamed replaced with Infobeans CloudTech Private Limited moving forward. We started a 5-seater office in Vadodara. We have about 12 people already working from another office. We have also finalized a 30,000 square foot office for Baner, in Baner, Pune, for Eternus and now Infobeans Cloud Tech team. It will open in October 2022. The reason we have to move out of the current office was the building caught fire 2 months ago, and then in the inspection by the Pune Municipal Corporation, we came to know that the office that we are occupying is needs to be redone, because we can only use part of it, not full of it, not the full space. So we have decided to move out of it, and therefore we are taking a larger space with a new branding and a much larger, I would say, presence for Infobeans in that part of the city. We already have an office in Giga Space, Viman Nagar. So we'll continue with both the offices and two locations. That way, teams can will have more incentive to come to any of the offices in any of these areas. We appointed the UI as an auditor, which I mentioned. And then, we've been named as Dream Companies to work for under the IT/ITES category. Next, please. So this is a new slide from a usual deck. This time we have tried to give you more information on how the business is poised for growth in future. What are the tools that, what are the platforms that we are riding on, and what kind of client penetration we have. So if you look at the partner ecosystem, we have partners with Salesforce, ServiceNow, and UiPath. And if you look at the team size in each of these buckets, we're pretty large, presence now. A 500 people team on a base of 1600 team is a pretty significant presence. And we're seeing a rapid growth in Salesforce ecosystem everywhere. We are also seeing good margins as, Eternus is giving up, getting good margins and good rates for Salesforce. So that's a very ambitious, play for us to grow in those ecosystems. And there's another slide that we'll talk about as to what is our TAM, what is the addressable market for Salesforce and ServiceNow kind of platforms, plus digital transformation space, how it is growing. So we are riding on digital transformation and product engineering piece using these platforms. And if you look at the client, one of the biggest differentiator that Infobeans carries is the ability to strike direct relationship with these large clients. So if I look at, we have Fortune 500 clients, which are like 13 already. So there's a $1 billion club, which is like 6 companies, and there's a unicorns, which are 7 of those. Then there are companies which are 500 million plus in their revenue, which is 3 of them. And then we have 4 companies which have more than $100 billion revenue. So each one of those, these names can give us a much larger, growth potential every year moving forward. So one data point that I keep sharing is that we generate 90% of our revenue from the existing customer base. So when I have this, such a strong customer base, we look forward to continuous business from these accounts. And we have been doing Salesforce or ServiceNow or UiPath in one of those clients, each one of those clients, and therefore we believe that we'll be able to grow much faster. Plus the other strategy, which is a very active strategy for us, is the inorganic piece. So you've already seen in the past, we've acquired 2 companies, Philosophy and Eternus, and put together in the 5 years since IPO, when we went IPO, we were valued at 140 crores. And now we are, anywhere around 16 to 1700 crores in market value. So that's the kind of value we have created for all these stakeholders in the last 5 years. And we want to repeat the same thing moving forward. So we are very positive that we should be able to, replicate the same story in next same growth in revenue and team size and the client base for the next 5 years also. Next week. This is the total addressable market for digital transformation piece. It is poised to grow at 90% CAGR until 2026. Salesforce and UiPath market is going to grow at 28% CAGR, and that's a huge potential market for us. Next, please. So some of the client names which are active and which are giving us much larger business every year. ALM is a client with us for the last 18-19 years. IQVIA for 9 years. You know, there's another under NDA storage company which is with us for last 14 years. TripAdvisor is a new client. Pest Management is a new client. Facebook is with us for 2 years now. So yeah, pretty long-term relationship with each one of those clients, and we continue to land and expand into the new ones. Next. So this is just a graphical view of what I mentioned earlier. There was 12 Fortune 500 clients, 7 unicorns, 6 companies and the billion-dollar clubs, then, you know, so on and so on. Next, please. So this is the depth of clients where we can, you know, land and expand eternally, I would say. Another interesting point that we are trying to highlight here is that we are able to retain high logos that we acquire over the years. So we had 7 high logos. When I say high logos, these are the high revenue logos for us. So we are doing more than 3.5 crores of revenue with each one of them. That has increased to 11 by 2021, and that has increased to 15 by 2022. And we continue to increase this size every year. Plus, the average revenue per customer is also increasing for us every year. So that's another active strategy that we are focusing on. Next, please. So here we're trying to share with you as to what is the impact of those acquisitions, how are we changing these companies, how are we refocusing and realigning so that we derive a much larger value. So if you look at Philosophy, which was acquired in 2019, they are a unique boutique shop which focuses on product prototyping and a very early stage of development cycle for products. They used to work with a lot of startups. They also, you know, worked for exchange of equities, which we, you know, completely stopped. We focused, we wanted them to focus on reducing the long tail of small customers and focus on the large ones. You know, if you look at the rows here and the columns here, you see that, you know, between this 3-year period, we have been able to reduce the client count, but also increase the active revenue from the active clients from $332K to $659K. The Fortune clients have increased. The unicorns have, you know, remain the same, but the more than $100 million revenue size clients have increased for them. Plus, you know, the $2 million account, which was not existing for them, is now starting to show up. And one more important thing is there was no renewal for them. It was a one-time client for them. With the DNA of IncoBeans, we are now generating a lot of repeat business from their existing clients, which is a big win for us because it is also helping us save costs of sales. And therefore, we are also able to improve our margins, for EBITDA margins for Philosophy as a standalone unit if you were to compare that. Similar strategies that we are focusing and applying here at Eternal Solutions as well is we're trying to focus on large clients and we are winning those clients as well. We are focused on trying to improve our utilization levels and also, you know, demand a better billing rates. We're getting there. We provided them access to the U.S. market, so they're able to sell well in the U.S. market as well. And we are also able to improve the EBITDA margins because of the utilizations and the increase in rates. So we are being more efficient for them in just 8-9 months of acquisition. Over the 5-year period, this is how we have utilized our cash. We have spent about 70% in acquisition, and we have spent about 27% in organic growth of the business in terms of CapEx, in terms of other, you know, R&D kind of work. And then we spent 5% over dividend as well. Again, I repeat myself that we are not a dividend paying company. Don't think of us as a dividend paying company. We are a growth hungry company and we will invest in growth. This is what, you know, you have seen already. We would want to, you know, continue the same split over the years. You know, we are investing for growth, but we're not willing to, you know, just reduce our capital by way of distributing dividend. I think the growth, the only hurdle to growth at this point in time is the availability of talent. And for that, what we're trying to do is there are two dimensions to the talent equation. One is the ability to attract, and second one is the ability to retain. We are working on both the directions. What our study tells us is that if we invest in our team, they tend to stay longer. So we are, you know, at any point in time, we're investing in people where we have fresh graduates coming into the system. We are investing heavily on their training programs. We also hire 1 year experienced people from the market, and then we train them on specific technologies and groom them, you know, for specific projects. We also invest heavily in the leadership team where we, you know, give them access to management programs from IIMs. We also do access to foreign universities like Carnegie Mellon or Purdue universities using online programs. And then we also invest in our tech team doing a lot of technology certifications so that they, you know, become more qualified. On the retention side, we are doing a lot of unique programs. We are recognizing and rewarding our team members by way of the stock options, by way of a one-time retention bonus, you know, that is going to be there in this year. So there is a one-time hit that we'll take on the cost front also. The attract part, what we're trying to do is we're trying to be more efficient. We're trying to focus on people first model. And we're saying that for candidates, usually it takes 2 to 3 weeks for companies to give them an offer, right from the interviews, first interview to the last interview. We're telling them, you know, come in and, you know, in 90 minutes we'll roll out an offer for you. So we're trying to be more efficient in that space. We're also doing a lot of active programs for the referrals from our existing members. And the senior leadership and the high performers, we are telling them that you onboard a qualified friend of yours with a very minimal, you know, hurdle in terms of the interview process. So you just select a person, pick it, and we'll, you know, dole out an offer very quickly for that individual. So we're doing a lot of unique such activities to attract and retain talent for the company. And therefore, if you see every quarter, we are increasing our team size, despite having a, you know, attrition rate of 20% plus, we are still able to, you know, do a net addition every quarter. Some of the numbers, I think it is already there in the past decks, but, you know, from FY17 when we went public to FY22, in 5 years, we've grown from 84 crores to 29 crores. PAT numbers, you know, same growth. Margins have been increasing, you know, progressively, and as I keep telling, it will now come back to 24% EBITDA, 14-15% PAT eventually. Next, please. This is how we've been able to accumulate cash and utilize it. In the first chart on the left, you know, we had about 63 crores post IPO, and then we, you know, increased our cash, then we invested in philosophy, then we increased, and then we again invested in internet. So on CAGR on growth part on revenue bit and PAT for last 3 years is phenomenal. For last 10 years is also phenomenal. Net worth has been growing at CAGR of 38% for last 10 years. So in all counts, we are doing fairly well. And, you know, we are not stopping here. We want to repeat the same story moving forward. Our growth strategies, we continue to focus on organic piece. This time we are saying that we are leveraging on the platforms. We are doing sales development. We have active sales people in all the geographies that we are in. We have active customer success teams, which are handling the existing clients. And we are, you know, leveraging the platforms like Salesforce and ServiceNow. And we are also building and investing in the R&D market, R&D space. Plus, we are growing, we want to focus and grow more on the US market, which we are already doing. On the inorganic piece, we continue to focus on companies, you know, which are on the same direction that we are in. You know, so build versus buy, we are saying that we'll also build and we'll also buy as a strategy for us to grow. And the last acquisition has, you know, fairly aligned with our direction of the business. So that continues as an active strategy. You know, we have Mridul, who has joined us from Tech Mahindra M&A team. He's actively helping us for the last 5 months to, you know, figure out right companies and do the due diligence process. So that's the constant effort. We have separate teams that are conducting each of these activities, from sales to client success to partner management to account management to M&A process. So we continue to work and execute on those lines. This is what we're doing. We've been doubling ourselves, since 2012, more or less. This five-year chart tells you from FY 17 to FY 20, we doubled. FY 18 to 21, we doubled. FY 19 to 22, we doubled. And FY 23, we are hoping to double ourselves, much more than FY 20 number. Probably we'll beat, we'll double from FY 21 numbers also. So, a cash and cash equivalent of about 36 crores. Put together. Remember that we paid about 78 crores to Eternus Solutions already, the founders of Eternus Solutions, or the shareholders of Eternus Solutions as a first payment at the closing plus payment at the first tranche. So that is, despite after that we have enough cash balance. We have a strong pipeline of order book. So we order book and sales pipeline together. We are fairly confident of hitting 400 crore plus numbers this year. We are integrating sales, Eternus into Infodeans, so that is going on, and that's pretty much it. Some numbers from the stock market. Next, please. This is another thing that I wanted to highlight with the shareholders here, that we take our CSR responsibility very seriously. And even, just today, we did another inauguration of our InfoBeans Foundation Training Center. So we have three centers in Indore where we are training students of underprivileged background who are 12th class, and we train them for in one full year on software technology, software engineering. And after that course, they are all getting placed. So put together, we have, in two batches, we have trained 60 students, and almost all of them have got placed. We are running another third batch of about 40 students, and now we are planning for a fourth batch of this program, which is currently enrolling students right now. So I just wanted to keep you posted on that. We are creating this impactful program, and out of three centers, physical centers in Indore, and it is creating a it's transformation for these people and their families, because one person who gets a job of 2 to 3 lakh rupees a year to start with, right after their first year or second year of graduation, that is a big change for this kids who comes from underprivileged background. So we're actually changing the entire family of these people, and they are so happy, and they are so willing to come back and support the new batches by coming and training themselves. So I just wanted to have that highlighted here. So we take our responsibilities very seriously on the CSR side as well. Thanks. I think we can now look at question and answers. So if you can, Prateek, if you can help me on this.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So thank you, Amnash. And we can start with Q&A now. Those who want to ask the questions, they can raise their hands. So, first question comes from the line of Shobhit Singhal. I'm just unmuting his line. Yes, Shobhit, I have unmuted your line. You can ask your question. Shobhit? Yes, hi.
Hello, thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask the question. As mentioned in the presentation, like you have 12 plus Fortune 500 clients. So do we have them, do we deal with them directly or through some vendor, third party vendor?
So with, we have zero third party contracts with clients. We don't. So on the both sides, on the client side, we have all of them as direct clients. I think that is another differentiator of InfoBeans. We don't work with companies like Infosys or systems integrators like Infosys, TCS or HCLs of the world. We work directly with our clients. That is one powerful relationship that we have been able to create over 22 years of existence. Second is we don't really work with consultants or contractors on the client, on the team side. So we have people who are on the payrolls of Infobeans, and almost all of them. Very little, you know, in case we don't find anybody and we have to go with a subcontracting route. But otherwise, you know, in 99% of the cases, we have direct relationship on both ends, on the team end as well as the client end.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, one more question. Sir, what is the reason for the resignation of auditor in this quarter?
So we have appointed a new auditor, which is EY, Ernst & Young. And their Indian entity's name is S.R. Butley Boy. So since they came on board jointly with Basant Jain and Company, which was the last auditor, so therefore they you know, chose to resign, and therefore and EY now is the sole auditor for us.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
So it is an upgrade of sorts for us.
Just a reminder to participants, limit your questions to two. So the next question comes from Devavrat. So I am unmuting your line, Devavrat, if you can ask.
Hello, Avinashji, how are you?
Very well, Devavrat, how are you?
I am very good. Quite a decent set of numbers on your standalone basis. So we're just wanting to understand, you know, what the difference is right now between standalone and consolidated. Consolidated includes both Philosophy and Eternus, or does Philosophy come into the standalone number now?
No, so standalone is only India. It does not have any subsidiaries for us.
Okay.
And Consol has all the subsidiaries, including Eternus.
So you've done phenomenally on your standalone number. So congratulations on that.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that your employee costs have doubled. I mean, is this just because you've gone for very aggressive hiring? And are we going to see the fruits of this later, or is this going to continue?
Definitely. So if you remember, probably, you know, 3 quarters ago or 2 quarters ago, I think when all the 3 founders were there, we said that we are willing to, ride this wave. There's a demand scenario that is coming up. And we don't want to lose our, you know, new clients and new business that is coming our way. So we will be aggressively hiring. And when I say aggressively hiring, you have to obviously pay a lot of, incur a lot of costs and pay a lot of, premium to get those people on board, because, you know, every new candidate would have 2 or 3 offers in their hand. And the offers will come from Accentures of the world. So you have to beat that, you have to, you know, compete on those lines. So we were willing to do that. And, I think in last few quarters, we've been talking about how we are going to counter this in terms of price increases to the client, in terms of, you know, bottom of the pyramid where we've hired a lot of fresh graduates and investing in training in them. We're also investing in terms of cross-skilling and adjacent skilling for the existing team members, so they can, you know, be more productive. So essentially, we are trying to manage both ends. So we said we'll first, capture the client, and then second, we'll worry about the cost. So that strategy has played out. We are growing, organically, phenomenally well. So from 21 to 22 year, we have grown at 30% organically. This time also, we are growing organically fairly well. So we are seeing that that is going on fairly good. Our clients are accepting our price increase. So that is actively going on. So I think, in next couple of quarters, we should be able to come back to a better margin scenario than what it is. But having said that, let me also, warn you that it's going to take time. So it will go worse before it go and for better, right? So 29% EBITDA margin was anyway not sustainable. We've been talking about it.
It's
not going to be there anyway. So, so travel has increased. You know, we are traveling in all the geographies that we are present. We are also doing a lot of, stock options is also hitting us on the cost side. There's a retention bonuses that we're giving, which is also going to hit us on the cost side. But that's fine, right? I mean, that is how you'll have to build the business and grow it from there. And eventually, since our rates are going to increase, we'll start to get the benefit in time to come.
It's okay, very nice. It's a
process.
Yeah, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. In fact, you know, when we met last time also, then we had discussions along similar lines. Yeah. But just want to get an understanding from you. Now, see, you know, if we look at employee cost as a percentage of revenues, it's roughly 62%, right? 61-62%. So, do you have some kind of a target in mind where you would like it to be? Or, I mean, is it too difficult to forecast that?
It is very difficult to forecast. We certainly want to optimize on it. So, you know, on a monthly basis, we do a lot of analysis on utilizations, on, you know, bench, on, you know, performance. All of that is being tracked on a monthly basis. So we are taking corrective measures, we are taking improvement measures, and we are also, you know, trying to, as I said, do a surgical strike on each of those, you know, low performing buckets or low margin buckets. So, okay. You know, so that is a constant, you know, process. So, as I said, you know, it is also a factor of how fast you grow. If your top line grows by 5%, you know, the margin will come back very, very strongly, because most of that money will go back to the PAT and EBITDA.
Correct.
So, yeah, I think it's a hand-in-hand thing, but yeah, you know, I also told you that we are going to another rental premises. Mm-hmm. There's going to be increasing cost on that front also, but yeah, you know, that's part and parcel of the business.
No, sir, if you're growing, then you know, it makes sense to spend on the right things.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely needed. But thank you so much for the clarity. I just have one last question, or it would be like one question with a follow-up question. So how is the Eternus integration coming along? Do you think it's coming along well? And the follow-up question would be around, you know, future plans to acquire. How have you identified any such companies, or do you have like a timeline to sign a term sheet or something like that? Like, could we get some sense on that?
So, Eternus integration is coming on extremely well. We are going to change the name to Infobeans, you know, immediately. So that is one big development. That means that the team on both sides, the client on both sides, the partners on both sides will see Infobeans as a name. So that is, you know, more or less the brand integration that happens immediately. On the acquisition front, we continue to make attempts. We continue to, you know, try and find the right targets. And, you know, in the process, we also give out letter of intent and, you know, maybe, you know, if you want to call it term sheets. But unless that is signed, unless that is accepted, you know, there is, we can't call it any significant milestone. So, therefore, you know, unless that happens, you know, I can't really talk anything in that sense.
Okay, noted. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks. The next question comes from the line of Mohit Jain. Mohit, I have unmuted your line. You can ask your question.
Yeah, hi, sir. Hope you're doing well. I'm a little bit concerned about the fears of recession looming over US. So I just want to know what would be the impact if US hits the recession. It's already been hit, but had it not been for the definition change, what would be the impact to Infobeans sales in the next couple of years from the US side? Thank you.
So Mohit, you know, historically, we have come out stronger after every down cycle. So we have seen several down cycles from, you know, dot-com bust, to Lehman Brothers, to recessionary times, to you know, COVID times. We have solved, and we have constantly grown. So one is, you know, the macro factors don't really affect a company of our size. We are still a micro company. Second is, you know, the kind of demand that we continue to see from the clients that we have, which is a very, very large set of clients. So these lines, they don't see any, any recessionary pressures or downturns or whatever. So that's the second, third advantage that we have. Plus, if you look at it, what is the fix for recessionary pressure? How to handle recessionary pressures? How to handle, cost pressures? Technology is the key to handle those, recessionary issues for a business. And in India, definitely it offers that kind of an advantage from a cost point of view, from a scale point of view, from a technology capability point of view. So I don't see any challenge per se for on the demand side. So I am not worried about it.
Okay, thank you, sir. That was all. All the best for the future.
Thank you, Mohit.
Thank you, Mohit. The next question comes from the line of Bhagwat Naik. Bhagwat, I have unmuted your line so you can ask your question.
Hello, sir.
Hey.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of year-on-year numbers. Different changes in the audited numbers. This quarter too, there are some changes, and last quarter also there were inaccuracies in tax expenses, which were corrected later. This raises some concerns about the company. How do you plan to address in this future?
So, very well pointed out, Bhagwat, and I apologize to all the shareholders here. There was definitely an overhang. The second was, obviously we wanted a much better auditor to come into the picture, and that's why we had EY coming on board. And EY kind of auditors have their means and they've been done their which was necessary for them and necessary for us also. And I think that is how we bring in more credibility and process into our financial numbering process. So moving forward, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to clean it up into that kind of a restatement situation. So, that investment is purely
government. Okay, sir, just wanted to understand one more thing. From EY's supply.
So, EY has come in from July onwards, and they have done this audit before.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. From my side, this is the question.
Yeah. We take this very seriously about the corporate governance point of view and the numbers point of view. We need to be transparent. Therefore, in the first instance, when we found our mistake, we accepted it and we published it. In the second instance, it is a restatement by the auditors. So we have accepted and we are moving ahead with it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bhagwat. Request to participant to limit the questions to two per person. And the next question comes from Anika Mittal. You can unmute your line, Anika.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yeah, hi.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I joined the call lately, so maybe this is the repeat one. In previous con call, you mentioned that both the Eternus and PGL are doing good margins. So what happened suddenly that NPM and OPM of subsidiaries fell significantly in this quarter? I understand that amortization is there, but these operations did not even add much to our top line in this quarter. Like sales fell by 14% versus previous quarter. And along with the significant high employee cost is also there. So do you really think these operations are going to add value to our top line and bottom line? And what is the reason that we are not able to control these high employee costs?
Absolutely, the subsidiaries are adding a significant value to us. Eternus, the margins are phenomenal. They're doing 40% EBITDA margins, they're doing 28-30% of PAT margins. They are doing phenomenally well. Philosophy has also improved their margins. The only situation that we're seeing with subsidiaries right now is they couldn't generate a faster revenue growth for themselves on a quarter-to-quarter basis. But it's a very temporary thing. It will come back and I'm very positive about it. The moment that revenue start to show up, the revenue growth start to show up, the margins will definitely improve for both of them. Secondly, the point that you mentioned is about the cost for each of the geographies and each of the subsidiaries. I think it is a necessary evil that we have to handle and we have to manage. Even in the US, the cost has been spiraling very high. And the only way to handle that is to increase the top line. So, and obviously increase the top line both by acquiring new work as well as acquiring and increasing our billing rates. So we are continuing to do that on the possibilities and all the opportunities that we get. You can't go to every client and say, increase your rate right now. It is a time when, there's a renewal that comes in, then we go and, change the rates. If there's a specific skill that they demand which is out of the SWs, then we ask for a higher rate. So we are looking at those opportunities and, capitalizing on it as fast as we can. But it's a gradual catch-up process. You deliver and then you charge more, you deliver and charge more. That's how it will continue. But I don't think, I have absolutely zero doubt in my mind where these companies are adding value or not. They're adding significant value to us. So there is no question about it. And, quarterly revenue here and there is always a function of one project here and there. One client, one big project, and you start to change the numbers dramatically. So it is a very short cycle to evaluate and come to a conclusion like whether the subsidiaries are performing or not, whether it is a bad acquisition or not.
So how do you see these kind of parameters like revenues and EBITDA from your subsidiaries going forward in the upcoming 3 quarters?
I mean, it is difficult to say that, but I'm positive that each one of them will grow. And each one of them should grow at a faster pace. That is why we acquired them. So, we are working towards jointly on the sales, work to increase our top line in all the directions. So that is a continuous effort. It is difficult to predict it, what's going to happen in the next 3 quarters. But on an organizational basis, we are going to grow. We are, as I said, we are at a 400 crore run rate, definitely. We're hoping to do better than that.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Anita. So the next question comes from Puneet. Puneet, you can unmute yourself.
Hi, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I just want to understand on the attrition part. So do you see increased attrition? And my second question would be, where are you seeing more opportunities, inside India or outside India?
So the attrition is slowing down. So if we had a 25% attrition on an annual basis, we're seeing it around 20-21% right now. So there is definitely a course correction. On the geographical opportunities point of view, I think we're seeing growth in every geography in that sense. We're growing in the US, we're growing in Europe, we're growing in Dubai, Middle East market, not only Dubai, Saudi Arabia also, and then we are also growing in India. So it is a demand scenario from all the geographies. That is where in one of the earlier questions I said, I don't see any demand issues at all. So, there's a lot of work to capture happening.
So, actually, from where I'm coming is, suppose I get 800 crore rupees right now, where I would like to deploy it inside your politics or outside, so that would give me more clarity. I just wanted to put this question other way around for you.
No, I didn't understand.
So, if we have a lot of cash available and we see we should deploy inside India for the opportunities to expand or outside India?
Okay, so the answer to that is, if I were to acquire a company, I would certainly prefer US any day. One is because my 80% revenue, second, I've been present there for the last 22 years. Third, I have a lot of referenceable clients there and large clients. So that leverage allows me to, grow the acquired company much faster. So, I would certainly think of that as a higher possibility, a higher thing. But even if you look at the last acquisition of Eternus Solutions, it's an India-based company. However, they had a big chunk of revenue coming from overseas market. So we would always think of companies which has a much higher presence in the overseas market, particularly US, as our target company.
Sure, thanks. That answers my question. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you, Puneet. The next question comes from the line of Rajesh. Rajesh, you can unmute your line.
Yeah, good evening. My question is, like, why the profits are down? You said in your presentation that you will elaborate on that. So
the profits are down primarily because of, employee costs. Subset of employee costs, which is like salaries, which is in cash. Second is stock option impact, which is also, starting to happen. And the third is the travel cost that has increased for us, which was not there previously. So all of these factors are contributing to increased cost. Plus, I would also say that the revenue growth should have been much higher. As in the previous question, we saw that revenue growth for subsidiaries was lesser. So had that been the case, the margins would have been better.
Okay. And do we see this trying to continue, or there would be an improvement in the...
We are working towards, beating this, Rajesh, on all counts. So we are trying to improve our sales. We are trying to reduce our cost. We are trying to, maximize on the opportunities that we capture. So we are working in all directions to, come out with a better set of numbers.
So how much net profit margin can we expect on a consolidated basis?
Quarter to quarter is difficult to predict.
Analyze.
I keep saying every time, EBITDA 24%, PAT 14-15%.
14-15%.
And that's an annual, thing over the years. It may not happen 1 year, but it will certainly catch up the next year.
Okay. And my second question would be, are we working anything in the artificial intelligence or maybe in the electric vehicle platform segment?
No. We chose blockchain as a new technology investment.
Uh-huh.
We are doing that right now.
Okay. And how much potential do you foresee in blockchain in terms of sales growth or profitability?
So what we are finding is that all of our customers need blockchain in some or the other form. We have BFSI customers, we have healthcare customers who have pharma clients. So we believe that blockchain will be a very important capability set for these customers also. So that's what we're trying to see. We can, just piggyback another set of capability on the existing client base and see if we can leverage that. So that's why we chose the blockchain as the first technology to invest in.
Okay, fine. I'm all set. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rajesh. The next question comes from Arun. Arun, I have unmuted your line. You can go ahead. Arun,
you have to unmute yourself.
I guess there is some problem with his line. So we can go ahead with the next question from Varun Agarwal. Varun, you can unmute your line.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Congratulations, Avinash ji, for a good set of numbers, especially on the standalone front.
Thank you, Varun.
So, a couple of things I wanted to understand. On the standalone front, we have done good in terms of bottom line also. But on consolidated, you gave the appropriate reasons because of the employee cost and travel expenses. Other than that, do we have a negative bottom line still in philosophy?
See, philosophy doesn't exist anymore. It is now into Infobeans INC as a subsidiary.
Okay.
And it is also a function of, the increased cost that they are seeing at their end also. We are also hiring people in philosophy to build the capability set. So what happens is philosophy is still a boutique shop which is doing one-time projects for big clients and typically in the product prototyping space. So, you have to have a constant sales pipeline for, one project is over, then you immediately pick up the next one. So, if there is some gap or some time lag, then you know you start to see a dip because the costs are very high. You know, if there is no revenue matching it, then there is a significant impact. But, you know, we are positive that we will come back because there are contracts that are coming up. There are contracts that are getting renewed. So all of that will start to show up again. So it's a temporary blip, I would say. Nothing to worry about.
No, is that one of the reasons why we see a suppressed bottom line other than the...
The growth in revenue for both the subsidiaries has not been as promising as we expected to be.
Yeah. And this one-time retention bonus, in which quarter will we have that?
It will have its impact in the last quarter, March quarter.
And any estimated value of that?
It is difficult to estimate at this point in time. I'll try to come back as a separate update on how it is going to be, because we are also trying to see if we can convert that into a stock option. So we don't know as of now.
And in Q2, will we have any increments? yearly increments?
We don't do that.
Increments are in which quarter?
In the March quarter, in the April quarter. So this quarter, April to June. So
this quarter, we have already done our yearly increments.
So that will be the new base for us. Essentially, we did multiple appraisals last year because just to retain people.
Okay.
It was a bad time in that sense.
Yeah.
And we were very flexible also, trying to see if we can, you know, retain rather than hire. The retention is cheaper than hiring the same talent.
Right.
So we became very flexible in that sense. Here also, if you look at this year, we are now trying to be more selective, more, you know, conscious and more cautious about it. So that way, we should be able to now, you know, see better situation. The demand on the talent, the supply side issues are also subsiding now. The attrition numbers are also, you know, are reducing. So that's a good sign. So all in all, I think we would not be required to do another midterm appraisals or, you know, out of turn appraisals in this year.
Okay, fine. Just to, before I end, I wanted to appreciate a few things that from disclosure point of view, we have done more disclosures in the presentation, so which gives us more clarity, and taking a step of appointing one of the Big Four as auditors also gives investors a lot of confidence. The CSR activities which we have taken and the new technology we have started investing in, which is blockchain.
Thank you very much, Varun. I appreciate that you have been constantly figuring out as to, you know, what are those positive spikes. So thank you for pointing those out. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. All the best.
Yes.
Thank you, Varun. Next question comes from the line of Vivek Kumar.
Pratik, we'll have to take it as the last question. I think we're already on closing time. So Vivek, please unmute and go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Avinash.
Hi, Vivek.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. I got to know about your company a couple of months ago, and I was very much impressed with the way your company is growing and also the vision which your company has. I think recently I read one of the interview of your, I think, VP, who was saying that he planned to double our business every 3 years. So I have invested in the company for a very long term, perhaps for the lifetime. So I just want to know your vision, and when you pass on your mantle to the next generation, where do you see your company? Right now it is a very small company, a microcap, but when you will pass on to the next generation, where do you see? Do you see your company as an Infosys 25 years down the line? Hello?
Avinash, your line is not audible. I think it's on mute. Hey, you can unmute yourself now. Just check. No, we can't hear you, Avinash. Just unmute and then mute it again. Try once. Yeah, now it's audible, I guess. You can speak, Avinash.
Thank you, Vinesh, for asking this question. This is definitely a very appropriate so, we have been modeling incubins, or not modeling, but we've been benchmarking of sorts, or we've been, you know, looking up to companies like Infosys as our role model. And we've been in touch with a couple of co-founders directly. So their value system, their willingness to share their, think of business as a teamwork, share the wealth with the team, and be more professional and ethical in the business, focus on data and processes rather than anything else. So we've been kind of, as I said, mimicking Infosys, if you want to call that. How we want to leave behind a legacy, we certainly want to leave behind a legacy for ourselves and for our, our team. Thinking, and not only us, the three of us, but every member who retires from Infosys, Infobeans, and goes out, either retires or goes to some other company, should look back, think of it as a very, proud association with Infobeans, a company which was willing to create value for everybody, not only, a handful of people, not only just the customers, not only just the team or the investors or the community, but for everybody. Strike a right amount of balance create a meaningful interaction for everybody. I think I'm talking very generic and very big picture sense, but there's hardly any need for us in terms of money or in terms of fame or in terms of I would say first power or position. The entire entrepreneurial journey of those 22 years have been extremely fulfilling for each one of the founders. And we are just trying to create those, mini entrepreneurs, if you want to call that, in the next leadership team and the next leadership below them. We continue to have programs, annual programs, where we pass on the knowledge and the, value system to our next set of leaders. And then they in turn run a program where they pass it to the next level of leadership. So we call that as a founder, an L1, an L2, and an L3. And we continue those programs every year. So it's a constant exercise, continuous exercise for us to create that team which does, operate in that manner, endlessly or eventually, till their retirement or till their useful contribution to the company. I hope, I didn't give you a lot of you know, vague answers, but this is the direction that we're taking as a company.
So I'm quite satisfied, Avinash, because I think this is the value I saw when I was going through your company's profile and your profile and other founders' profile. And generally, when I invest in any company, I first see the value system of the company. And this is my first con call of your company, and I am really impressed because you were not only talking about the money or the and the money monetary figures, but how you and your company is transforming the lives, many lives throughout the globe. So I just wanted also to know how the organizational philosophy or organizational values the company has. You didn't provide what kind of legacy in terms of, because the money is one thing in which the value can be ascertained in finance world, but still I'm satisfied with your answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vivek. And since you have invested for long term, I would request you and every other member out there who think of investing in Infobeans for long term or already invested in Infobeans for long term, please come to our Indore office. You know, we'll be happy to meet you. You can see this you know, happening in action, and you know, obviously get that kind of confidence.
Thank you so much. I just hope that in maybe 4 or 5 years, maybe a decade down the line, the company will start providing some dividends.
We already provide a very token dividend.
Token dividend, yeah. I got that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Let's see. If we have remained with cash reserves with us, we'll certainly distribute it. But if we continue to do acquisitions, I don't know if we'll have cash in the books or not.
No, I would suggest go for the acquisition. Don't give dividend to the investor, because that's the compounding. The investor will be more happy and they will get greater return. Though market has not very much appreciated your result today, it is 10% down, but I think this is just a reaction.
Yeah, it doesn't
because
matter.
Because the net profit was not left in line. But that's as you said, it doesn't matter. Quarter over quarter, definitely I am not in this for quarter. At least I am here for a decade or more than decade.
Thank you very much, Vivek. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Vivek. As we pose the last question, I would hand over the call to Avinash for the closing comments. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you once again. All the shareholders, I highly appreciate your time and interest in Infobeans. You know, you have several choices, right from TCS of the world to Infobeans of the world. You've chosen us. I'm extremely indebted and thankful to each one of you. We say, we are, you know, focused on the long term, and in that process, we have to really take calls like, you know, acquiring clients and acquiring talent at a higher cost. We'll do that, and we'll continue to do that. We'll also, you know, focus on long term growth of the business, and we know that you know, we are going to see the fruits of it in time to come. Therefore, you know, I sincere suggestion or request to each of the shareholders, you know, think of Infobeans as a long-term investment, not a quarter-on-quarter short-term investment. So I'm sure you'll be benefiting in the longer run immensely if you stay put despite the numbers on a quarterly basis. So thank you again. Thank you very much for your time and attention. I highly appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey everyone. Thanks.